Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yay! I think you're supposed to speak first, Tyler.
Well, maybe we should just trade off.
According to my my list here.
Oh, I see.
You're supposed to say, today on the show.
We have a script.
Yeah, go on.
Jason and I are working out the kinks of our new morning show. Should I just go to the script?
Yeah, if you would, yeah.
Today on the show, both local and world news, including a new record set by the Queen of England and a recap of Stephen Colbert's first show last night.
Plus, we'll learn about the Orange County Make-A-Wish Foundation during Caroline's Cause Corner. And Linda Halligan will count down the top five things you shouldn't say to your teacher in bed.
And we'll play a game of Slang Bang. We'll see what that is. It's all coming up on Daily Scramble Live.
Yeah.
How was the script?
I think it was a little bit, stiff.
You can write it tomorrow.
I think so.
Every time I stare into the sun.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
First in local news, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom, Strategic Hotels and Resorts Incorporated, which owns the Montage Resort in Laguna and the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna Niguel, as well as a score of other high-end properties, announced its acquisition Tuesday by New York-based Blackstone Group for $6 billion. In January, the town's 250-room hotel changed hands for the first time since opening 12 years ago and was sold to Strategic Hotels for $360 million. The deal put Montage on par with the historic Waldorf Astoria, which sold for $1.95 billion last October, or $1.4 million a room. Under the deal with Strategic Partners, Montage Hotels and Resorts continued to manage the resort, which includes three restaurants on a 30-acre bluff. But there's no word yet on whether Blackstone will continue that arrangement, so the Montage's future is a little bit in question again. In Orange County news, well, it's hot. The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory through Thursday evening in anticipation of triple-digit temperatures across the region. Yesterday, it reached 97 in L.A., 104 in Yorba Linda, and 109 in Chino. And those temperatures are measured in the shade, so please remember to drink a lot of water and wear loose, light-fitting clothing. We're looking at a high in the high 80s today in Laguna Beach. In world news, Jason, you'll like this one. Queen Elizabeth today becomes the longest reigning English monarch in history, passing the record set by her great-grandmother, Queen Victoria. The 89-year-old monarch said the title was not one to which I have ever aspired. Although we know she bypassed the record today, the exact moment the queen became the longest reigning sovereign is not known because her father, George VI, passed away in the early hours of February 6, 1952.
That's very strange, Tyler. That's made the hairs on the back of my neck start. I was in the shower this morning and I was only just then thinking about Queen Elizabeth.
What
in
about?
The shower.
Thinking about her in the shower.
Well, it's my, I consider it my patriotic duty to, you know, have the hots for her, frankly.
You have the hots for 89-year-old Queen Elizabeth.
Well, you know, she's the queen. You've got to.
Did you know that she was so close to setting the record?
No, I had no idea, but I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about if when she dies, how annoying that's going to be. In terms of just news stories, it's going to be all over the news. You're not going to be able to put the TV on without seeing some picture of her in a coach in 1952 driving toward Westminster Abbey to be crowned queen.
So to be clear, your concern with Queen Elizabeth dies is the over
going to be
media
really
coverage.
Irritating, yeah. Really annoying.
I think that's probably an uncommon view.
I remember when her mother died. That was a similar situation. Very annoying. And Princess Di. Ugh.
Everywhere.
I spent the day at the gym with a friend of mine, sitting in the jacuzzi just to avoid it. So boring.
How about TV news? Stephen Colbert hosted his first late show yesterday.
I know. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either. I don't have cable, so I'd watch it on Hulu tonight. Is it on Hulu tonight?
It should be. Here's a little recap for
Go
you. It says here he didn't really reinvent the wheel, but he's more than capable, and there were some funny moments. Apparently, it started with a montage of Colbert in various locations with random people singing the national anthem, and at the end of it, Jon Stewart pops out as the umpire in his sketch.
Oh, that's nice.
And then later on, there was a video screen screen, and he was chatting with Jimmy Fallon on the video screen, and they joked about going to the Late Show locker room at the end of the show, which they both did later as another sketch. And George Clooney was his first guest, and they didn't actually have a movie to promote for him, so they made one up. It was called Decision Strike, and they showed three fake clips from it.
Oh, great. Very nice.
Sounds fairly typical, but funny.
Yeah, no, I like the fact that he's doing a thing with Fallon. And listen, for Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, that's what they do, like bring each other on.
Right.
That's always the punchline to their jokes. Great.
Yeah, so now they're still continuing to do that, even on the first show.
Do you know what? To tie in two stories, Stephen Colbert should do a montage at the montage.
It might not be the montage anymore. Who knows?
He should do a montage at the St. Regis and freak everybody out.
Let's do finish the headline. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I read a headline. Jason has to fill in the blank, and then we talk about the story. Are you ready? Here we go.
Yes, go.
A kid fell down a well and found his missing blank.
Okay, finish the headline.
You like that?
I see you adjusted piece of imagery.
A little ping on there. A boy fell down the well and found his missing parents.
You're close. A four-year-old kid in Mississippi fell down the well. It was over 20 feet deep on Monday, and his dog was down there.
Wow.
His missing dog, who had been missing for 3 days, found his dog, and apparently the kid's mom thinks he heard it barking down there, tried to go get it, and turns out his dog was at the bottom of the well.
All right, so he was looking for his dog. It wasn't like it was like some... I'm sorry, my mouth's not working yet. It's only 10 after 7. Like it was a real surprise to him. Like his dog was missing, and they thought it was gone for good.
Well, I don't think he meant to fall in the well, but yeah, he was looking for his dog.
He was looking for his dog.
Yeah.
So he found his dog.
Yeah.
So man finds dog.
That should have been the headline. Yeah, I should have said man finds blank, and then you could have said dog, and then...
Man finds dog.
Some New York City blanks have to pay more than $200,000 for city permits.
Okay, finish the headline.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten the headline already.
Some New York City blanks
have
to pay more than $200,000 for city permits.
Okay, finish the headline.
Members of the mafia.
No, that's an interesting guess. Hot dog vendors.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I didn't
Very
know
Very expensive, yeah.
According to the New York Times, there's a guy named Mohammed Mustafa. He pays one of the highest fees for hot dog vendors in the city. He's got a cart on 5th Avenue and 62nd Street near the Central Park Zoo. He pays $289,000 annually for his location. And other cart owners around there, especially in the Central Park area, pay more than $200,000 a year.
Wow. How many hot dogs do you have to sell? Well, we could work it out if we wanted.
Go for it.
No. $290,000 a year.
It's insane.
To the city.
There's no way you make that back.
I'm sure it's kind of mob run, though, isn't it?
Hot dog stand?
Yeah. You interviewed the Fratellis.
Yeah.
And they're Scottish.
Right.
Well, there's a whole Italian mob family in Glasgow that runs, like, newspaper stands and all that kind of thing. And I wasn't surprised that the Fratellis were from Scotland, whereas you would think it would be the Muck. You know, Muck Fratellis.
Fratellis, though, is named after some movie, isn't it? Isn't it like The Goonies or something? Or...
No, they're brothers. Yeah, they're brothers.
Yeah, but it's not his real last name.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, John Fratelli from Scotland is not actually John Fratelli.
That's not his real name.
No, he took it from a movie. I think it was The Goonies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next time, just Wikipedia before you do that.
Just a little prep would help that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's all I got this hour, but we'll do more Finish the Headline in the 8 a.m. hour. Cool?
Ice Cream, that was it. There's a movie called The Ice Cream Wars, and it's about Italian families in Glasgow fighting over ice cream.
And it has what to do with John Fratelli of the Fratellis?
Nothing, but it has a lot to do with the kind of hot dog thing of people having to now pay $200. It's really not that interesting.
We've gone from hot dog stance to the Scottish mafia.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Daily Scramble Live, our new show.
Yes, it is.
This is precisely what we do. Welcome to the new program. I'm Tyler Russell. He's Jason Fetty. And we'll be right back. Generational Alt-Rock, this is Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5 in Laguna Beach. We're going to go to the phones. 949-715-KXFM is the phone number.
Hey, Tyler, good morning. It's Tom Fay. How have you been?
Hi, Tom. I'm well.
The show sounds great. The you and Jason dynamic's really working.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and so does
I'm having a blast. Sounds like you are, too.
Yeah, morning. How's it going?
Real well. I get to get my kid to school. I'm at the intersection, but I wanted to phone in my congratulations. See you later.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Kind. Yeah, nice.
Say hi to Jason. Oh, hi, Jason.
Oh, hi.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I like that.
We do shows in a bubble. So we have no idea what people think or if they hate us.
I like to think that we're wherever you are, we are. People are up, getting up, doing all different things. Listen, the police are out or whoever
they
are.
They're listening,
yep. Yeah, they're listening. And I'm sure in the fire, as the fire engine rushes toward the fire and the possible death of the fire guys, they're listening to us talk rubbish on the radio. It's a weird world, isn't it?
Whatever you're doing, we hope to be
there.
There. Hey, so yesterday was about the funniest thing I've ever seen happen. And I want to recap.
What happened?
So we had our first guest on this show ever.
Oh, no, this was terribly embarrassing.
I have to talk about this.
Go on, then.
So there's a band that came in studio yesterday called Pompeia. They're from Russia. And they're not like just from Russia. They're extraordinarily Russian. And
they're Russian, Tyler.
They're very Russian.
Right.
And so we're interviewing this band, and it's the first one we've ever had in the show. And Jason and I haven't done a lot of dual interviews. And the idea was we had a secret word that we were trying to get them to say. So we decided the secret word would be tonic yesterday, and we would try to lead them to this word. But our first impression with this band was probably highly unfavorable, because they walk in and they're setting up the stuff and they're talking in Russian.
Yeah.
They're like, bong, 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 bong. Right. And Jason goes, hey, there's no Russian in studio.
Yeah, we have a rule against Russian in the studios.
He said you're being very rude. There's no Russian.
I like to make people stop. People, it's a good joke that, because, for example, we had the Lovebirds were in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Great band. And they're a duo, and they're gay women.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them made reference to the fact she was gay. You know, then that sort of slightly nervous way that some people do, you know. And I wanted to make them feel comfortable here.
Right.
So I said, you're not gay, are you? We don't allow gay people in here. Right? Which is crazy.
And I would assume they laughed.
They laughed and it was great.
Now,
they were really into it.
What you probably learned is that that doesn't translate well to a Russian sensibility.
It clearly didn't.
So
the gay people were up for it. They thought it was hilarious, but Russians,
The Russian guy apologized. He said, I'm very sorry. I don't know. I don't know English words.
And I made it further. I was just kidding. I really was just kidding. And then later on, he said something to me. And I made it even worse by saying, he said, I know a Russian must sound very strange to you. And I said, yeah, it sounds like English backwards. And he just looked at me like I was a complete idiot, like, you are a fool, stupid English.
The other best part was when you were on the Wikipedia page, and that guy goes, what is that? And you were like, it's your Wikipedia page. I'm just checking the facts. He goes, I've never seen this before. And you said, it says a lot of things here. Like it says you wear women's clothing. And the guy goes, really? It says that?
It says that. That is not fashionable anymore. That's what he said. So, yeah, it was a bit of a...
You did not land any jokes with these people. And then, so to top it off, so we try to do the secret word thing in the interview, which is a new thing we're trying to do. We want people to secretly say a word that we try to get them to say. So we ask them questions like, do you drink a lot of vodka? Trying to get them to say tonic.
Yeah.
What do you mix it with? Mm-hmm. You know, lemon. And we couldn't get them to say tonic. So at the end of the interview, you said, we failed. We tried to get you to say tonic. Can you say tonic? And the guy was just like, tonic.
Yeah, he didn't think it was funny at all.
No, he didn't get it at all.
And I was thinking, well, if we've got another 15 minutes, I could probably get into mute. If you can't do the vodka tonic thing, maybe we can do like, is it, what key is that song in? We're going to play a song. What key? Is it the minor? No. Is it the major? No. Is it the... And he was, no, they were not going.
No.
It was going to take all day.
You weren't going to get it.
No.
But I think it was a really hilarious start to our show.
I thought we did really well until they came. And it just kind of collapsed around our ears.
They were also really late, and I was so tired yesterday, having gotten up so early to prepare the show for the first time.
Yeah.
And I let out this huge yawn while he was setting up.
Oh, dear.
And I noticed he was just staring at me yawn.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry.
God. Oh, dear. It's funny, though, because they looked well. They looked okay. But they were complaining that it was very early in the morning for them. But they looked fine. I don't know.
Well,
you drink enough vodka, that's what happens to you.
We don't have a guest this morning, thankfully. But we do have Caroline Bruder coming in to do Caroline's Cause Corner, and Linda Halligan's going to count down the top five things you shouldn't say to your teacher after 8 a.m. We'll see how our next music guest goes maybe tomorrow.
We don't have a human guest, but I've just made some coffee, and my cup of coffee feels like a guest to me.
Okay.
It feels like someone just came in the room.
And it's treating you, more nicely than the Russians.
I'm stroking it. Daily scramble, daily scramble life. Daily scramble, daily scramble life. Yeah, that's some kazoo playing right there. I'm thinking of taking it up professionally, just becoming a kazoo player, going on the road. Itinerant kazooist.
Wow.
That's all rubbish.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
This is Daily Scramble Live. Our new show on KX93.5.
It could be really... That rhymes. What did you say?
I don't know.
But it could be... you know, instruments go in and out of fashion. Like saxophone, very much out of trend at the moment.
Not, is it?
Yeah.
No one's playing the saxophone?
No. You know what Oscar Wilde said about the saxophone, don't you? Mm, mm-mm. A gentleman is someone who can play the saxophone, but doesn't.
I don't get it.
Well, because it's such a squeaky-sounding thing, he didn't like it. Sax is a weird, it's an odd thing. Sometimes it's good. I mean, if it's jazz, it's kind of good. But, you know, think of...
Yeah.
You know, horrible. Or any of those,
That's a good one.
What's his name? That sax, but Kenny G.
I used to listen to soft rock radio on my way to school every morning with my mom. Yeah. That's precise. I heard that song almost every day.
Kenny G.
Yeah.
I was offered an interview with Yanni recently.
Like you were going to interview Yanni?
Yeah, he's going to be at the Segerstrom Center coming up.
Are you not doing it?
I found a polite way of saying no.
Why? That would have been so fun.
No.
What does he play? The cello? The violin?
I have no idea.
I think he plays the violin.
He plays the hairdo. He's got the hairdo.
He does have
a hairdo.
He looks a little bit like Weird Al, doesn't he?
He's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. I'm all right. I'm. You know how we are. Tyler, you may not know this. Fair listener, but Tyler and I have a little in-joke between ourselves where if somebody sends us an email that says, "Hi, Tyler or Jason, sorry I didn't get back to you 3 weeks ago, but I'm swamped." Swamped.
My least favorite thing.
We should have some imaging that goes, swamped, and then we just talk about people who are swamped.
Are you feeling swamped? Is that why you're telling me this?
Well, I must tell you, I'm swamped.
I feel a little swamped as well, but I would never tell you.
And you're not well as well. We should say that. You're not feeling very good.
No, yeah, I'm not feeling very well. Last night, I had a fantasy football draft. I'm in 3 fantasy football leagues this year. I don't know if that means anything to you at all. Absolutely. So uninteresting to you, I'm sure. And I went to play a little bit of poker before the fantasy draft. I had a real man's man night, right?
Sounds like it.
Football,
poker, football,
you know, bourbon. And I'm sitting there and I'm just starting to sweat. And the guys are looking at me like, "Are you okay?" And the color's draining from my face. And I realized that whatever curry I had for lunch yesterday, which I got from my favorite restaurant in town that I eat at every day, whatever curry I had really just took the life out of me last night. And I woke up so early this morning with a 100-degree fever, and I'm here, and I'm feeling a little better now that we're going, and I'm eating dry matzah. I don't know.
Yeah.
trying to take care of my stomach.
Matzah, it's not Passover, but I suppose that's all right for you, Goyim. You can eat it any time of year. But the curry thing for lunch, I had curry for lunch, too, from a different restaurant. Did you enjoy the curry that you ate?
Not really, no. I knew something
knew
was up.
At the time it wasn't right.
I knew something was up.
Bad shrimp.
I always have pad thai from this particular restaurant, but yesterday I had curry, and I don't know what to. I should tell them. I should maybe tell them.
But now I'm sitting in the petri dish of your disease, and so tomorrow I won't be here.
I almost didn't come this morning, but then I realized I don't know what would have happened.
I don't know, but you know, I'm feeling a little bit under pressure. Also, it's the Jewish high holidays coming up.
Okay,
and I work in a temple.
Yeah,
Friday
you're a cantor,
and I have to sing. And it's like, honestly, I shouldn't complain, except that it's a Day of Atonement coming up. So if I complain about being Jewish and having to work in this thing, I can always make up for it by atoning and repenting in a couple of weeks' time.
So you can complain about it all the way up to it. And tell it, and then you have to atone.
Do anything you like
during
and then just atone. Yeah.
What is the High Holy Day? What is that? What'd
it's
you say?
Jewish New Year coming up.
Okay.
Next,
is that Ramadan? Rosh Hashanah.
Ramadan.
Hanukkah.
It's Ramalama Ding Dong.
What is it?
It's Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
Rosh Hashanah,
that's on Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday.
You know, I used to get all those holidays off from school.
Really?
Because we had so many Jewish kids at my private school that they gave us the days off.
I was at a Jewish school, but I was the only kid that didn't get the days off.
Right, exactly. What else are we doing today, Jason?
I don't know. Okay. Play music. Let's play some music.
Sure. How about a new song by Mute Math?
Great.
We still are a radio station. We should remind people. KX93.5 is what we're called. We're in Laguna Beach, California. I should mention we're having a fundraiser on September 26th. It's called KX Fest, for which you can get your tickets online to see The Colorist, Open Air Stereo, Freedom Fry, Family Band, and The Diamond Light. They're only $30 or $25 for members. That's only in a couple weeks, so please do grab your tickets so we can see you there to raise money for independent radio. Local music from the King's English on KX93.5. We're Laguna's only FM, and this is Daily Scramble Live.
I'm Tyler Russell. I speak that, the King's English. I speaks that, Governor.
Is that...
I speaks it.
Is that Cockney?
In it.
Is that East London?
It's East London Cockney, innit? Innit? Isn't it? Is it not? Innit? That's how they speak, or they did when I let them. Listen, 15 years, a long time in linguistics.
I was just going to let you keep doing that until you
innit
ran out of energy. Hey, the new show, Daily Scramble Live, is brought to you by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, promoting health and wellness in the community at handandstone.com. Jason, remember that that woman, Kim Davis, that got jailed for...
I don't remember.
Something.
You better remember.
She got jailed. Do you remember she got jailed?
I've not. Have you ever been to jail yourself?
She was jailed for refusing to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Remember
No, I do know about her. She's out of jail now.
Right.
And they had a big rally for her.
Okay, so that's the story. Okay. Here's the story. You might already know this. They did have a big rally for Kim Davis yesterday, who's out of jail in Kentucky. They had a get-out-of-jail rally. And do you know what song she decided to use at her get-out-of-jail rally?
Something with the word baby in it.
This one.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
This is what she used.
Bam. There it goes. There it is.
All right, so she's using Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. She gets out of jail and everyone's cheering.
Right.
Yeah. We hate gays, right? Or whatever. Is that what they were cheering?
No, it's not gays, is it? It's
same-sex couples.
Is that what it is? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
okay,
right.
So Survivor heard about this. Survivor, who wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, are they upset about it? They should
very
be.
Very upset.
Yeah.
They said, please do not use our song to condone your behavior at your get-out-of-jail rally, even though she already did it. And the lead singer of Survivor, who I bet 1% of the country knows the name of.
Never
his name
of.
Is Jim Petterick.
No.
Said he was very surprised and dismayed at the misuse of the song I co-wrote with Frankie Sullivan for Rocky III. The song has motivated thousands through the years to reach beyond their limits. Its use for the release of Kim Davis does not support my views or my politics. I have contacted my publishers to make sure this usage is stopped immediately, and they're considering litigation
Good
as
for
well.
Him. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. The thing about this is that she's got some religious views and fair dues. You're entitled to your religious views in this country. It's a free country. But you can't impose on everybody else, and therefore she should have lost her job. I don't understand why she went to jail. It doesn't make any sense. Because that all that does is turn her into a martyr. Mm-hmm. And they love this kind of thing. They love martyrdom.
Which is why there ended up being a rally and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So just fire her. Finished.
It's interesting because, you know, a lot of music licensing issues get swept under the rug, right? I mean, bars aren't even allowed to play music without paying a licensing fee.
That's right.
And I suppose that's true of any public event, any rally, any political thing. And unless the band gets wind of it, like they did in this case, I'm sure you can go without paying music rights all the time. People don't know the rules.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they paid the rights. I mean, Survivor might get the money, but that's not the point, is it?
Well, do they have to condone the use?
No, they don't.
No.
No, they'll still get the money. And then presumably, if somebody were to say, I mean, there's somebody in the right-wing press is going to say, oh, well, Survivor got paid for it, blah, 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 then Survivor have to give it to charity, the money that they get for that. It's not a fortune. It won't be a lot of money anyway.
Right.
We talked about this yesterday. You know, my pathetic CD sales, I got whatever it was, you know, $25.
Right.
And for one play at one rally in front of, I don't know how many, 500 people or whatever it was, 1,000 people, it's probably not a great deal of money. And they should give it to charity and finished.
Yeah.
That's it.
Are you a big fan of Survivor?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, it was a thing, wasn't it, at the time? It was Rocky. It was a thing. What the connection is between her and Rocky and people that
I have,
overcome
what?
Great things, you know. She's just a crazy woman, man.
Yeah, Eye of the Tiger doesn't make any sense to be used for this particular thing. But she was, you know, the first person ever to be jailed for that sort of thing, for denying the right to marry, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's a big deal.
So now they've put about the end of the story is that she's now back in a position, but she's not allowed to force her. See, she was quite high up in rank in the government. She's not allowed to force the people beneath her or below her in the ranking system from stopping people getting married, gay people getting married. These are just people that are opposed to civil rights. These are, you know, it's the deep south of the of our present day, isn't it? These are just those sort of, they're the Ku Klux Klan.
It's Kentucky.
Of today, really? Well, yeah. Whatever, so.
I mean, and again, you know, we don't want to impose our views or say that your views are wrong or anything like that, but, you know, if someone disagrees with you, that's okay.
If you're opposed to gay marriage, don't be gay and don't get married.
Sure.
And that's it. But you can't tell anybody else not to.
Agreed. Want to play Eye of the Tiger again?
Yeah. Let's rock.
I only have 1 minute of the song, though. I don't have the whole thing.
I'm actually happy to hear that.
This is Daily Scramble Live.
Don't play this because people are going to be turning the radio on right now.
The only time we're ever going to play Eye of the Tiger is right now.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. Just for a second. Just for a second.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
Yes, your sorbet of the day. Now, your sorbet of the day, of course, is a kind of brain rinse. It's a rinse for the brain. It's a kind of mental floss. So that if you've woken up like I do, obsessing over something, perhaps we can clear your mind in a meditative... They're good. Those wind chimes are great. Okay, here it is. Never judge a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. That way, by the time you judge him, you'll be a mile away with his shoes. With his shoes.
That was the sorbet of the day.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
First in local news, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom, Strategic Hotels and Resorts Incorporated, which owns the Montage Resort and the Ritz-Carlton, as well as a score of other high-end properties, announced its acquisition Tuesday by New York-based Blackstone Group for $6 billion. In January, the town's 250-room hotel changed hands for the first time since opening 12 years ago and was sold to Strategic Hotels for $360 million. The deal put Montage on par with the historic Waldorf Astoria, which sold for $1.95 billion last October. Under the deal with Strategic Partners, Montage Hotels and Resorts continued to manage the resort, which includes three restaurants on a 30-acre bluff. No word yet, though, on whether Blackstone will continue that same arrangement. Also, police are working to determine if the stabbing death of a man at a Laguna Niguel home Monday night was a homicide or an act of self-defense. Deputies arrived at the house at 5:23 p.m. in response to a domestic violence call where an injured 73-year-old man confessed to stabbing his 49-year-old relative. The younger man was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead. The 73-year-old was also treated at the hospital for his injuries. The incident was the second fatal stabbing in the city on Monday and the third in Laguna Niguel this year. A 22-year-old man was stabbed to death during a suspected gang-related fight with another man at a Laguna Niguel bar early Monday morning.
What about you? I'll be on the air. I'm just thinking about a 73-year-old man who is now possibly going to jail, probably for the rest of his life. That's not how you want to end your life, is it?
No. Got,
even no matter how old you are, you've got plans about the future. We all think about the future a lot. What's going to happen in the future? Even if you're 73, you think, oh, I'm going to go on vacation in February or whatever, and I'm going to go see my aunt, my old sister in Missouri on Tuesday.
It's just shocking that there's been that many stabbings in one city. Like, what is that... mean? What does that say? Richard Bagley, the Laguna Beach High School alum, who's friends with a bunch of people in town, he got killed earlier this year and stabbed by his girlfriend. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it says about anything. I mean, I'm personally think that they grew up in a country where guns were not allowed. So my feeling is that guns are bad and you shouldn't have them on the streets and we should get rid of them. But people seem to be able to get hold of knives, don't they, and kill each other. I mean, you can't ban baseball bats or knives or poison or...
You can't stop people from killing people if they're going to kill people.
What's wrong with us that we want to kill each other like that?
I don't know, Jason. It's I'm reading the news, though.
Okay,
I'm just reading the news.
Yes.
How about world news?
Okay.
Queen Elizabeth today becomes the longest reigning English monarch in history.
Yay for the Queen!
Passing the record set by her great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, the 89-year-old monarch said the title was not one to which I ever aspired. Although we know she bypassed the record today, the exact moment the Queen became the longest reigning sovereign is not known because her father, George VI, passed away in the early hours of February 6, 1952.
Right, and if she stabs somebody, it's all right. She's 89.
I somehow knew you were going to bring those things together. I somehow knew.
Queen stab, that'd be great. That'd be a news story.
Stephen Colbert had his first late show yesterday, and it went fine. He didn't reinvent the wheel, but he's more than capable. There were some funny moments. The show started with a montage of Colbert in various locations with random people singing the national anthem. That clip ends in a baseball field, and the umpire takes off his mask, and it's Jon Stewart. There was also a bit where Colbert was flipping through the channels on his new video screen, and he came upon The Tonight Show, and then he and Jimmy Fallon had a little conversation. And finally, George Clooney wrapped the show with some fake clips from a fake movie called Decision Strike. All in all, sounds pretty fun, and if I can manage to stay up that late, I'll watch it.
Yeah, maybe. You've just told us the whole show. Don't need to now.
don't even watch it on TV.
Get a nice early night and get up for Daily Scramble in the morning.
Let's do finish the headline, Jason Fetty.
Okay.
I'll read you a headline. You fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Two kids tunneled their way out of blank in Russia.
Okay, finish the headline.
Two kids tunneled their way out of school. Must be. Did I get it?
You got it.
I got it first time.
But it's kindergarten.
Wow.
2 5-year-old boys went missing from their kindergarten in Russia. Turned out they spent the last several days digging a hole under the fence and tunneling out.
Wow.
Police found them at a car dealership more than a mile away, and they said they were there because they wanted to, quote, get a grown-up car.
Get a car, yeah, of course they did.
Both of them are home safe now, and their parents aren't pressing charges, but their teacher got fired for not keeping a closer eye on them.
Well, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, but what did they use? What tools did they use?
They went full Shawshank Redemption.
They did.
They probably, if it was anything like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank, they used a rock hammer.
Got to get busy living or get busy dying. That's my Russian
Shawshank. You know, that's my favorite movie of all time.
It's a wonderful film.
My favorite movie.
Yeah.
I love that story. They escaped from school.
They actually did escape from school.
And the yard was actually like a prison. It was a fenced-in prison with barbed wire. Like,
how did they get through the concrete? What did they... I mean, I want to know more about this story. I'd like to know what tools they used or if it was just the fingernails.
Why don't we call the Russian school?
Let's call that band from yesterday, see if they know.
You speak Russian. all right, next story. You can buy pumpkin spiced Twinkies, bread, and blank right now.
Okay, finish the headline.
Pumpkin spiced blank.
Lube.
Okay, finish the headline.
No.
I don't know.
Although you're close.
What is it?
Dish soap. It's dish soap. Hostess has pumpkin spiced Twinkies. They're regular flavored Twinkies, but with a brown pumpkin spice thing inside.
Sounds horrific.
Arnold Bread makes a limited edition whole grain loaf with pumpkin spice and roasted seeds. That's the bread.
Yeah.
And finally, pumpkin dish soap is being sold only at the supermarket Giant. It's called Pumpkin Hand Rejuvenating Dishwashing Liquid.
I don't know. The pumpkin thing, that's a very American thing. Not a big fan of the pumpkin pie. Can't do it. Just was never raised on it. Not my thing.
I am so excited for pumpkin season.
Are you?
I am the white American pumpkin loving guy.
You like that stuff? Do you like the candy corn? The candy corn's
love
coming
it.
Back. Do you?
I like the pumpkin drinks at Starbucks. I like going to Disneyland and getting like the gingerbread, whatever.
No.
I love fall.
It's horrific.
I love fall.
Pumpkin spice chai, whatever the heck that is. It's horrible. And the candy corn, every year, somebody hands me a bowl of candy corn, and I go, ooh, candy corn. And I taste it. Ah, it's disgusting.
every year. Do you enjoy fall activities? Are you a Halloween fan?
No, I think it's a bit stupid.
Really?
It's not. We didn't grow up with it in England, so to me, and now I'm a grown-up. I like to the kids enjoy it. It's nice for the kids. I like it for the kiddies. I let the kiddies enjoy it, so that's all right.
I love Halloween.
Yeah.
Not for the actual holiday, although I do like the actual day. I like doing all the haunted things around leading up to it. In fact, you and I are going to do something for Halloween.
What are we going to do,
I haven't told you this yet for
really?
The show. We're going to go ghost hunting with a professional ghost crew.
Really?
And we're going to record it and we're going to play it on our show.
But ghosts don't exist, Tyler, so how are we going to find any?
I guess you'll see how it works.
Really?
I've done this before.
Oh, I'm going to mock these
people. For an old radio
mock
program.
Them. I will it's mock them.
Very scary. It's really scary.
I will fool them. And do you know the weird thing is? I don't believe in ghosts or ghoulies, but I'm scared to death of them. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a strange thing? Is that a paradox?
I think
it is. I'm the guy that whistles through the cemetery as he's walking. Oh, no.
And like nervously?
I'm scared to death. And I know that nothing's there.
Well, then I think you'll be terrified of ghost hunting. We went, when I did it last, I went with these guys and we went under the Pasadena Suicide Bridge, which is where dozens of people have jumped off and killed themselves. Oh, it's so scary.
And but do they like they lay it on right? I mean, they sort of
they
create
they
noises
truly
and
believe in they don't. I mean, when we went, we really didn't find anything except for a light that went on and off creepily under the bridge. It's fun. It's fun.
All right.
So we're gonna do that. And I love fall. And I love pumpkin spice things. And that's that.
Okay, fine. I'm up for it, Ty. You just drag me anywhere you want to drag me. I'm fine.
Thank you. Daily Scramble Live with me, Tyler Russell, and you, Jason Fetty.
Yep.
This is a cool new band called La Luce, and it's kind of a surf-sounding tune, although it is indeed new, with Davey.
Supporting local Laguna Beach nonprofits, welcome to Caroline's Cause Corner. KX93.5.
All right, the Daily Scramble Live welcomes Caroline Bruderer to the studio for Caroline's Cause Corner. Who's your guest today, Caroline?
Hi, Jason and Tyler. Today I have Kara Bouch from Make-A-Wish, and I'm very excited to have her on. Did you have a good Labor Day?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much for having us. I'm excited to be
thank
here today.
You for being here and suffering the first week of school traffic.
Yeah, it was a little
kind
brutal.
Of crazy. So, welcome and tell us all about Make-A-Wish. You're with Orange County and Inland Empire, correct?
Yes. So, Make-A-Wish Orange County and the Inland Empire grants the wishes of children with life-threatening medical conditions to enrich the human experience with hope, strength, and joy.
Yeah, let's address that really quickly because most people think it's for only terminal children.
Yeah, and that's one of our biggest misconceptions. We grant wishes to children with life-threatening medical conditions, meaning their condition is malignant, degenerative, or progressive. And children are between the ages of 2.5 and 18 during referral. So if you know of a child, send them our way. We'd love to help grant their wish.
I'm sure most of the listeners are familiar with Make-A-Wish, but give us a little backstory on how it was started and when it was started.
Yeah, Make-A-Wish was started in 1980 in Phoenix, Arizona. 7-year-old Chris Gracious, he had leukemia. He wanted to be a police officer for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of law enforcement heard of Chris's wish, granted it. And from then, Make-A-Wish was started around the nation. Our local chapter was founded in 1983 when we granted 14-year-old Tamara wish to visit the Caribbean.
Wow, that's amazing. You do such amazing work. Let's talk a little bit about some of the what you call them, wish kids, right?
Yeah.
Wish kids that you have right now that are close to the area.
Yeah, we actually granted last year 15-year-old Lucas's wish. He's out of Dana Point. He was diagnosed in 2010 with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. He was a dedicated football player, but unfortunately he was sidelined when he got diagnosed. And when Make-A-Wish volunteers approached him, he told them that his most heartfelt wish was to go meet Matt Forte of the Chicago Bears. So he got to go to Chicago with his family, got to go visit Hellas Hall and Soldier Field, got to meet all the players, got to hang out, got his T-shirts and his football gear signed, and he had a great time. Lucas would be here today, but it's first day of school.
Exactly.
He's got school's first. So
happy he's in school. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
So are you looking for volunteers?
We are. One of our biggest needs right now is bilingual volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're bilingual, please visit us online at ocie.wish.org and learn more about how to volunteer. One of the major things we're also looking for right now is airline miles. For example, Lucas, he traveled to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
People can donate their airline miles, and it helps grant kids travel wishes, which is really cool.
So what about other corporate partnerships?
Yeah, if you have a company that wants to get involved, there's a lot of different ways to give back to Make-A-Wish. We have an Adopt-A-Wish program where if you donate or raise $5,000, you technically adopt the wish of a local child. We have a bunch of corporations, but also school groups that do that. We have a Kids for Wish Kids program where kids of all ages, elementary school through college, can do fundraisers for Make-A-Wish. So it's really cool to see them give back so young.
Kids helping kids is really heart. I wanted to see if you could give us, I think you had another example of somebody in Huntington Beach that you're working with?
Yeah, we actually, well, recently we granted a little boy's wish to be a cool kid. His name was Finn, and he just wanted to be a cool kid for a day. He's 6 years old. He had hepatoblastoma, which is, I believe it's a form of liver cancer, and he wanted to be a cool kid, so we brought him down to South Coast Plaza, and it was actually one of my first wish experiences where I would say over 100 volunteers showed up to just cheer this little guy on. He pulled up in a limo, got out, and walked a red carpet. People had signs.
Celebrity kid for a day.
Yeah, he pretty much ran the red carpet a couple times. He got to sign autographs, and then he got to go to Macy's and get everything he needed to be the coolest kid on the playground, which was really cool.
That's great. So yeah. Tell the listeners again how they can, where they can go to. What's your website and all that kind of
stuff? Yeah, our website is ocie.wish.org, and we're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. So you can check us out and check out all the photos and videos of our Wish Kids.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think, I really appreciate you guys having us on, especially in September. September's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So it's really great to kind of spread the message, not only about Make-A-Wish, but about childhood cancer. So just learn more about Make-A-Wish, spread the word about Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, we are speaking with Kara Bouch with Make-A-Wish Foundation. And if any of you listeners want to become a member of KX93.5 today, a portion of your membership will go directly to Make-A-Wish Foundation. Kara, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. We really appreciate it.
And this is Caroline Bruder. Until next time, make it a giving day.
This was Caroline's Cause Corner. Enter your business at kx935.com/causecorner. Back to generational alt-rock. KX935, Laguna's only FM. Your weekly countdown. The top five on KX935.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba. Having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yes, Linda Halligan, the top five things you shouldn't say to your teacher today.
Yes, isn't that our time? Yeah, don't say that one. That is our topic, the top five things you should never say to your teacher. Mr. Spicoli right there, and Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What a classic film.
Hi, Jason.
Good morning.
Hello.
I forgot
you were here.
I'm confused. I never saw that film, so I don't know what it is.
You never saw Fast Times?
No.
Okay, that's a homework assignment.
And I think the time has probably passed for me to see that film.
No? See it. No, you'd still enjoy it.
You know another one? Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You have to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You haven't seen Ferris Bueller?
You're making me angry, Jason.
Yeah.
That's
you don't want to make me angry.
Really saddening.
Sorry.
Tyler knows.
It's okay. Yeah, Linda gets really upset when you haven't seen a movie from
1985. I do.
No, if you haven't
seen
if you haven't seen every movie from 1985, Linda will lose it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I was a little drunk in 1985.
Were
I don't
you?
Remember, yeah.
You probably saw them then. You just don't remember.
Maybe. Could be, yeah.
Oh, well. What's going on, everybody?
Hi, we're happy to have you here.
Yeah.
Down things.
Yes.
It's our new show, Daily Scramble Live, and we're happy to host you with this mad thing that you do.
It's great to be here, you guys. It's going to be a ton of fun. So that's our topic. Top five things you should never say to your teacher. As you probably know, all the Laguna kids went back to school yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And did they go back later than everybody in the universe?
Pretty much.
I'm like...
They did.
No offense, kids. But
I'm not surprised.
Like, okay, let's
they
wrap it up.
Extra surf and skimboarding.
Exactly.
Are you surprised? I think they've got a spring break next week.
They probably do. And then there's ski week 2 weeks after that. Anyway, one thing that I don't like to say to the teacher, Tyler will agree with me on this, can I go to the bathroom? Because they will say, I don't know, can you?
Yeah.
You have to say, may I go to the bathroom?
What you do at that point is you say, yes, I can, and then you just do it in your pants.
You just do it. Like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Steve Martin. Which,
just
of course, you didn't see.
You see, yeah, see? Yeah. I can.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that number five?
It's not. That's just a tangent. It didn't make it in. Okay, let's go for number five. Ready?
Yeah.
Could you make your class more fun? Guaranteed that'll be the last time you ever see a movie in class,
have a game day. Yeah.
You know, don't say that. Even if you feel it.
Are kids that mean?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have dared to say anything like that to my teacher. Yeah. That's insulting their entire job and their being.
Absolutely. And a lot of these do insult their jobs, and we're going to get into that because teachers, I mean, they need a lot more respect for what they do, I think. No?
But yes? They're teaching the most respectless individuals that we know.
That's why they should be respected even more.
But they are the few kids. I mean, I hate to say it, it's not a terrible cliche, but they are the future of our world.
Well, that was going to be my statement for number one, Jason, but we will get to that.
Go on, then.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Okay, number four. No. I was listening. I just wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
I don't think I ever said that either.
No? What did you ever say to your teacher?
I said, I was listening intently. Thank you so much for educating me, dearest teacher.
May I get an A+, please? Well, if I hear that and I'm a teacher, I'm going to be like, you little...
I was listening, but I wasn't paying attention. What do kids think the difference is?
Well, if they say, you're not listening to me. No, I was listening. I just wasn't paying attention. Like, I hear you, but it's not getting into my brain because I don't care enough to listen.
Right.
You know what I mean? So for it to really sink in.
You have a 10-year-old, right?
Yeah, 11.
11 now.
Yes.
So are these directly targeted at
him? No. He's actually very, very sweet. Okay. So I think he'd be too afraid to say anything mean to the teacher, which is great. And that's
how it just makes me want to bring back corporal punishment. Bend him over and whack him with a something. I got whacked with a slipper.
Did you?
Yeah, they called it the slipper, but it was really like a Converse All-Star or something like that.
A slipper?
It wasn't a slipper.
Big old shoe.
It was a shoe. Yeah, it was like a training shoe or something. Yeah.
Size 13 or something. Okay, number three. Why is this important? Because it is. If it's in the plan and they're supposed to teach you, you need to know. Now, will you remember 10, 20 years from now? Maybe not. But right now, it is important.
Yeah, I wouldn't even get into that whole, will you need it? I would just say, it's important because I said it.
Right, because I said so
and
is now, pretty much the answer to all these things.
Yeah, yep. And bend over.
Yep.
And that'll be the last time you speak to me. Don't ever speak to me again.
Yeah, so
you would
be quiet.
You pretty
pay
much the worst teacher in the world. This is why Jason isn't
a teacher. I'd be fired in a minute.
I would love to have Jason as a teacher. Wouldn't that be fun?
We told a story this morning. I don't know if you heard it earlier, that two kindergartners in Russia tunneled out of their schoolyard playground. They like Shawshank Redemption.
I was just gonna
tunneled out of the playground and escape school.
Wow.
Yeah. So don't do that either, kids.
Don't do that either.
If you're listening.
And if you do,
you know what?
Don't
if you can do that, you should do that because you can't do that.
Right.
Kindergarten. I mean, how did they do it with a spoon? What did they do it with? It's impossible.
With some blocks, I think.
A plastic shovel.
If you can do that, you should do that and get in the papers and write a book about.
They did.
Your
they made it all the way to Southern California.
Right.
You should write a book, make a film about it, and then say to the teachers, you know what? I don't need any more of your education. I don't need your thought control. Pink Floyd.
Did you mean? I know. I was wondering if you meant to quote Pink Floyd or if it just came out.
Right.
Doesn't it always just come out? I feel like Pink Floyd just sort of comes out of my conversation many times a day.
What are we at, number two?
Number two. I could teach this class better than you.
Mm.
Really? Why don't you get up here and show us?
I think I probably said that. That's one I probably said.
Did you actually say it or just think it?
I always thought it. Mm. I might have said it once.
And now kids are thinking I could learn more from Wikipedia, from Google, from Yahoo, from, you know, kids.
Oh, I can't even imagine kids.
What's the matter with kids, Steve?
Kids, I hate them.
I hate them. Some. And I will say, look, there might be one or two, you know, who like to make trouble, but most are okay.
Jason is recently married and has no children.
Okay. Sure. Are you recently married?
Well, 5 years.
Oh, okay.
It's quite recent.
Congratulations.
But we have a little dog, and she doesn't behave herself, but she's a dog.
Yeah. Does she go to school?
I say, when I always wind my wife up, when the dog does something bad, you know, she does something naughty, I always say, good girl.
When she
good
poops
girl.
On your wife's clothing?
No, not the pooping. I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah.
But if she barks at somebody or, you know, just whatever, runs out, bolts out of the house when you open the door, good girl.
That's really good dog owning.
I love that dog. I don't care. She can do what she wants.
All the other dog owners are really going to hate him and his dog, but that's okay. All right, are you ready for number one, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's really terrible. Going back to what Jason said a few minutes ago. Those who can't do... teach.
Yeah, lovely. Quote,
no.
George Bernard Shaw.
A kid would say that.
Kids can be terrible.
You notice that neither one of us have them, so we're totally unaware that kids talk like this.
Well, I'm not speaking from experience because I know some really, really fantastic kids here in Laguna Beach.
Sure.
But there are some jerky kids everywhere.
Don't say that to your teacher, guys.
If you make that quote,
it's George Bernard Shaw, isn't it? Those that can do, those that can't teach, teach geography. Isn't it? I don't think the geography bit's his, but up until that point, it's all George Bernard Shaw. Make the kid read George Bernard Shaw and write an essay on it. just unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
Shut up. Because these teachers, they have chosen this career. And they are, like Jason just said a minute ago, I mean, they are forming the future of America.
Yeah.
Do we want a bunch of, you know, little punks running around because they didn't have a good teacher? You know,
and most and of them, really outside of Laguna Beach, for sure. Outside of Laguna Beach, for sure, they don't get paid very much compared to other professionals. It's a vocation and a calling.
Yes.
To be a teacher. And it's such a hard job because, as you say, a lot of kids just don't understand the word discipline.
Right.
Although they do get paid the most in Laguna Beach of any other Orange County city.
Yeah, most of them do. And I was a terrible child. I was a horrible child. And I probably did half of the things that you said. But I was punished brutally.
Yeah. What kind of school did you go to?
I went just an ordinary school
just
in England.
Public school?
You know,
okay.
Back there, public school, yeah. That was just, you know. If you
had a uniform, right?
I had a uniform, yeah.
Did you wear it?
I wore it, of course. Okay. And if you didn't wear it, you got sent home.
You got two shoes.
No, you got sent home. And then I would do stuff. I had a teacher called Mrs. Port, Madame Port. She taught French. Madame Port. She was English.
Yeah.
And she would come in the class and she would say, "Bonjour tout le monde." Hello, everyone. And we'd all say, "Bonjour, madame." Hello, madame. And then she would say, "Comment ça va?" And we would say, "Ça va très bien, merci. Et vous?" And she would say, "Très bien, merci. Asseyez-vous. Sit down." And we'd all have to sit down. And then at that point, when we sat down, she'd say, "Jason Feddy, get out." And that was it. And I'd go, what? And she'd go, "You were going to do something. Get out of the class. Go and stand under the clock in the sports hall," whatever. And I would go in there.
Well, she looks into the future and just disciplines you early. But Madame Port taught you something because I thought your French was fantastic just now.
That's the only French I know. I know nothing else.
When I was about 7, maybe 8, I got almost expelled from school for mimicking my Spanish teacher. And my parents love to tell this story. I did get kicked out of school for a day.
I don't buy it. Tyler getting kicked out. I don't know.
She was scolding someone in class, and I remember it vividly. His name was TJ. So she said, "TJ, don't do that." And I was like, "Yeah, TJ, stop it."
you mocked her accent.
I mocked her. And she threw me in the principal's office. I got sent home. And my parents love it because I was an 8-year-old who could do a Spanish accent, right?
That's right. That's part of it. It's like the kid gets sent home. You know he's being disciplined. You know it's not nice what he did, blah, blah, blah. I've seen this happen with a lot of parents.
Uh-huh.
You don't like what he did. But on the other hand, it was really funny what he did.
Right.
And so what are you going to do? I mean, people do funny things at work all the time that aren't really appropriate. You know, and we're really teaching a workforce is what we're doing. That's the point of it.
It's like, "You were so bad." Chuckle, chuckle.
But yes, I remember being a little brat. So just quit it. Stop it.
Just quit it, guys.
Don't do that.
And, you know, understand that I'm doing this while all the kids hopefully are in school. So they're not going to get any ideas or anything like that. But just be good. Huh?
Hey, Linda, we want to play a game with you in like 5 minutes. Can you do that?
I can do that.
All right. We're going to play a game with you.
All right. What about movies coming out?
Yeah. What movies are coming out this weekend?
Okay. The one I'm really excited to see. M. Night Shyamalan, I like to say Shyamalan Ding Dong. The Visit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen trailers for this?
There will be a twist.
There's these kids and they go to visit their grandparents out in the middle of nowhere, whatever. And in the trailer, the grandmother goes, "Could you get inside the oven to clean it?" Like, they just completely flip out.
What?
Yeah, scary.
I like it.
It gives grandparents a bad name. So that one looks fantastic. PG-13, scary. The other one is The Perfect Guy, a thriller, kind of like Fatal Attraction, Snell Lathan, Michael Ealy, and Morris Chestnut. So
cool. Thank you, Linda Halligan, for the top five on KX93.5, which is now on Daily Scramble Live.
You're welcome. Be good
and,
to your teacher.
People. We're going
to
play a game in a few minutes with Linda to wrap up the 8 a.m. hour on KX93.5.
Will you dance?
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live.
It's a great tune, you guys. And you sang it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I wrote it, I sang it.
All right.
I played the kazoo on it.
Jason composed this entire thing.
I can play the cowbell.
I'm just going to play it in the background.
We only did it because Tyler Russell's cheap and he wouldn't get a professional in.
We thought you were a professional. Uh-oh.
So to wrap up our 8 a.m. hour here of Daily Scramble Live, before we get to the music-focused portion of the show, we're going to play a game. And Linda Halligan, welcome to our new program.
Thank you so much.
This game, should I play the thing, Jason?
Yeah, play the thing. What is the thing?
Let me play the thing. You made another thing
for this. Did I make a thing for this?
I don't
remember.
Let me play the thing.
I've made so many things.
Here's the thing. It sounds like this.
And now, Slang Bang.
There it is, yeah.
That's the thing. Okay, so this is the game. It's called Slang Bang Linda.
Okay. It's not called Slang Bang Linda. It's called Slang Bang.
Okay, so the point is, I'm going to read some American slang.
Okay.
And I'm going to read some British slang. And you both have to take a stab at guessing what it is. Obviously, okay. He's going to know more British slang. You should know more American slang. And whoever has the most points at the end of the slang bang round
gets to slang bang Linda.
Whoa, hold up, everybody. For the record, I know what a jumper is.
I think the kids are all in school.
We don't have a delay. It's not a button I can press to back up what you've said. Mm. We don't have that. Should I keep the kazoo going while we play this game?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Always have the kazoo playing.
Okay, so here's the first example. Are we ready?
Okay.
Now, most of the American slang in this particular list is from the 1950s. Mm. So it's actually quite challenging. But we're going to try it.
Okay.
Ready? The first slang word, American slang word, is fuzzy duck.
Is this for me or for him? It's for him, right?
Jason can answer first. Fuzzy duck.
It's totally, this is very crude.
Do you know what? No, it's not. It's not.
Fuzzy duck, see?
It's not.
I'm going to go and I'm going to get you in the fuzzy duck, see?
Do you know what it is?
It's very 1950s. Fuzzy duck. It's a hairy policeman.
Okay. And Linda, what do you think it is?
I think it's a drink. And if it's not, we're going to make it one.
All right. It's neither. It's a girl with short hair.
Oh, short hair. I got the hair thing.
You were actually much closer.
I got the hair thing.
What if she was pretty?
No
she
points.
She didn't look like a duck.
No points awarded.
But she had short hair. Okay.
Let's move on to British slang. Linda, you get to answer first.
Okay.
Stonking. Stonking.
Stonking.
Stonking.
Yeah.
I was stonking. Can I say fornication?
Nope.
No,
that's
it's not. And you know what? This is interesting because it sounds like a verb, right? Stonking.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not a verb.
It's an adjective.
Actually, it's an adjective.
Oh,
yeah.
You know.
If it's a stonking great thing, it's large.
Fabulous.
That's correct.
Large.
That's
okay.
correct. Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well done. You got a point. You got a stonking point.
Good job.
All right. Back to American slang. Jason Fetty. Hit the bottle.
Hit the bottle?
Hit the bottle mean in 1950s American slang?
It means get drunk. Go get drunk, right?
Linda?
I think it means get drunk. While playing spin the bottle.
It means to bleach one's hair blonde.
What?
I did that last night.
You hit the bottle last night.
I actually did.
Now, today it means hit the bottle, but
in
the 1950s, it meant something different.
Yeah, something different.
Okay.
All right, I think the British ones are gonna be easier for Jason, obviously.
Are you British?
I used to be.
What?
Crusty dragon.
What?
Do you know?
No, but I immediately thought of my grandma.
Linda, crusty dragon.
Crusty dragon. I would say, a really old, fire-breathing, magical animal.
A woman who just hit the bottle. An old lady who just hit the bottle.
Jason?
I've no idea, Tyler. Crusty dragon. If it's not an actual... Because, in Britain, obviously, we have actual dragons. I don't
of course,
know. I have no
and
idea.
Unicorns.
It's a booger.
Really?
I've got a snonking crusty dragon.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
Do something about that.
All right, back to American. If you were to say you've got the Zorros, you've got the Zorros. What does that mean?
You've got the Zorros. I think it means you are the Gay Blade. You've got the Zorro the Gay Blade.
Zorro,
that's his
name.
Yeah, that's his name.
And he would sign his name.
Yeah, with the Z.
Yeah, Jason.
Was he called the Gay Blade?
Yeah, Zorro
I've
the
never
Gay
heard
Blade.
That one before.
That's his name.
Really?
Swear.
You've got the Zorros.
You've got the Zorros. Or I could have the Zorros as well.
Could you? But can a woman have the Zorros?
Yeah, anyone can have
Does
the Zorros.
Does it mean you're tired?
Okay.
No.
We should ask questions about this. We should do this way.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it to do with your mental state?
Yes.
Ah. So you've got the you're not very happy.
No.
You're crazy.
Closer. You've got the jitters. You're jittery.
You're right, because you hit the bottle last night.
And you got a snonking
crusty dragon.
Yeah. All right. And you're a fuzzy duck.
Back to British. Full of beans.
Oh, full of beans.
Geez,
full of
that's
beans.
Easy.
Oh, I'm full of beans.
You know what this
full
means?
Of beans. Well, I say full of beans. I hope I'm using it correctly.
Go ahead. What is it?
You're full of, what? You're
energy.
Wrong. No.
What did you say?
Full of beans, full of...
Like you're crazy. Like you're full of crap.
No, like you're lying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you're lying.
Yeah.
I've never heard it used that way.
What do you think it is?
It means full of energy.
Jason's right. It means full of energy.
And if
Seriously?
You think about the amount of beans, if you're full of beans...
They are the magical
fruit,
there's
an enormous amount of exhaust created.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's the same kind of thing.
Mm. Full of beans.
I'm learning a lot this morning. Thanks, guys.
All right, couple more. 1950s American slang.
Yes.
A tube steak. A tube steak. None of them are what you think they are.
No, there actually is a tube steak. You cook it.
What is it?
It's a tube steak. It's a steak. I've had it.
Jason?
Really?
Yeah, this it's an actual...
It's not a penis?
We were avoiding it. We were avoiding it, Jason.
Well, I'm just going to go straight there.
It actually is a steak.
It's a hot dog.
Right.
It's a hot dog.
I've
no,
had
not right. It's a hot dog.
And it was a steak.
It's a wiener of
shaped
sorts.
Shaped as a tube.
It's a hot dog. In the 1950s, it was a hot dog. I don't
now
know.
We call them wieners.
Blame the internet, Linda.
No, that makes total sense because it's like, so, you know, people couldn't afford a steak. So they got it's like a joke. It's a language joke. Let's have tube steaks.
Right, exactly.
Which is cheap hot dogs.
Clearly hot dogs, not made of steak.
All right, one more British. This is worth double points, Linda. Your chance to catch up.
I've done so well so far.
All right. Mush. Mush.
Are you asking me or
I love your face in watching it because you think about it and then it just comes to you. Mush, you're first, Linda.
Well, mush is food.
Jason?
Well, I think that it's just a congenial term for a friend. Hello, mush.
No,
all right, mush.
That's not what it says.
Mush,
here.
Like we're eating mush. It's like if you don't have a ton of money and you eat mush.
I guess you can validate whether this is correct, but it says it's homework.
Oh, what? I don't know. I've never heard it used
You've
that
never
way.
Heard it used no. that way.
It's probably from the South, which we don't like the South.
The South of
I thought
England?
They called homework rubbish in England.
Got a snonking amount of mush tonight. Is that something you might
I've
say?
Never heard it. No, never heard it either. Wow. But I have heard people say, all right, mush. Hello, mush.
Hello, mush.
Like an affectionate term.
It's an affectionate term, yeah.
So, Jason, I can call you mush now?
You can say, you can't say, what are you doing, mush? Oh, no, you can't. You can't. It's kind of, it's a, you would only say it when you're saying hi to me. You wouldn't
I'd rather say hi, Krusty Dragon.
Jason, congratulations. You won the game.
Well, it's not about winning.
I thought I was good at games.
It is.
Now,
it's not about. So I just did more mush than you.
Apparently.
That was slang bang, Linda.
But I hit the bottle last night, everybody. And alcohol was not involved.
We want you to play a game with us once a week, okay?
Yeah, of course.
We're going to play a lot of games on Daily Scramble Live. Jason Fetty, we're going to go into the music hour now.
Cool.
On KX 93.5.
All right.